The year 2025 was a very unique. Y'all going to be seated first. We'll stand up in a second for scriptures. I do want to introduce myself to some that may not know who I am. The good news is I do not preach long. I'll be shocked if the invitation hasn't started by 8 o'clock. I rarely preach longer than 30 or 32, 33 minutes, rarely. We should be able to start eating dessert before the sun even goes down. So I think y'all like that. So I don't preach long. But the Lord's good. And 2025 was a unique year for me. I married two of my daughters off in 6 months. They're 2.5 years apart in age. And I did it on purpose so the weddings could be spread out. But no, they had to get married the same year. And so my two daughters got married. And then my one daughter got married in January of 2025. My second daughter got married in July of 2025. And then I became a grandpa in October. And I turned 50 in 2025. So it was an exciting year. And being a papa is amazing. I love being a papa, and I love what it's done to my wife. I didn't know she had that in her. She's a grandma now, and she loves it. And we wake up every morning trying to figure out how we're going to see her every day. So she's my little buddy. We hang out all the time now. We're very close. So my wife and I have been married almost 29 years. We have an older daughter that's 26, and she's married to one of my assistant pastors, and he's on staff there in Arkansas. My second daughter married a youth pastor, and they live in Philly, Pennsylvania, so they're a little far away from us, but they're serving the Lord there. Some of you may know him, the name Brother Higgins. He started numerous churches in the Philly area, and then Bob Hooker is pretty well known. His family used to sing all the time, and well, my daughter married Bob Hooker's grandson, and so they're both serving the Lord in Philly. And then my son, he graduates from Bible college next month, and he comes down to live to work with us in Arkansas. And then my baby girl is 18 years old. She graduates from high school this May. And so she's the one. I said, baby, you know, your two sisters are married preachers. Your brother's a preacher. Your daddy's a preacher. We need you to marry a millionaire. And she said, daddy, I want to marry a preacher that's a millionaire. I said, they don't exist. I said, I volunteer to be that preacher that's a millionaire, but God hadn't seen fit to make me that anyway. So, but the Lord is so good, and my brother Terry knows. He's heard my family sing. It's weird. We're at a weird stage of our life because they used to travel me all over the country, and now they're getting older and getting married and having their families and all that good stuff. But a week from tonight, I'll be preaching in the Bahamas on a mission trip, and the whole family will be there except for my son. He has to stay. He went with us last year, but he'll be staying back because he's graduating in a few weeks, so he has a lot of senior things he's got to take care of. But last year we got to go as a family, and we had, I think, 150 souls saved in a week, and just a great work there. They let you preach in the public schools, on the radio, and just a lot of good things happened in the Bahamas. And so we'll be there a week from tonight. My granddaughter gets to go for the first time. Then my mom's going with us, too. It's going to be a great, great time. For those who don't know, it's a silly reason, but one of the reasons I wear vests all the time is because of the ministry that I'm very actively involved in. I was born into a home with deaf parents. My mom and dad are deaf. My sister's deaf. My grandparents are deaf. Great-grandparents are deaf. I have deaf aunts and uncles, deaf cousins, deaf nieces and nephews. 5 generations of deafness in my family. We even had a deaf dog growing up. And so I couldn't get away from it no matter what. And that's a true story. We really had a deaf dog. And he knew more sign language than Brother Terry, I'll tell you that for sure. And growing up in a deaf home, deaf family, I preach to deaf people a lot. We have a very active deaf ministry there in Arkansas. And so Sioux Coach, I've actually ripped out a Sioux Coach preaching and signing, because when you sign, you know, when you preach and sign, preach get animated and they get loud when they're my wife has called me. She knows I'm in church right now. She just said praying for you. I don't know why my wife's calling you. Call me. And she said, call her. Hey, baby, talk to the whole church. Say hi to the church. You preach and your sign language gets bigger. You know, when you're having casual conversations, you just sound like this, talk like this. But when you start preaching, you start getting bigger. And so I would rip through suit coats and, you know, suit coats. So I went to the vest, and now my arms are free, you know. I feel like I can fly, you know. But I say all that to say this, just pray for the deaf ministry. It's a great need. They are the third most unreached people group on the planet. But they're the number one most unreached people group in America. And not many people have thought to reach the deaf. And I get it, you know, it's a unique ministry. It's a unique, you have to obviously be fluent in sign language. You have to understand their culture too. They're very different in their culture. But just pray for them. They're just so hungry for the gospel right now. We have a very active social media ministry where we preach to them almost daily. And we're in 30 countries now. And deaf people, sign language is not a universal sign language. It's not. But American Sign Language is so influential, just like English is, that many deaf people around the globe and other countries understand American Sign Language. And so we're able to get the gospel to many, many deaf people right now all around the world. If all the deaf people got together and lived together, they'd be the sixth largest country in the planet. Wow. So that's pretty amazing when you think about that. There's millions of them out there, and only 2% of them have heard the gospel clearly. Now, I say that heard as kind of a play. They don't hear it here. They hear it here. And actually, everybody hears it here when we think about it. And so pray for them. We're just so blessed. I was pastoring in Missouri for 26 years. And then I moved to Arkansas about a year and a half ago. Been there in Arkansas. And we're just loving what God's doing. He's just been so good to us. So again, born and raised in a home with deaf parents. My dad was 83 years old when he went to heaven 3 years ago. And my dad never heard sound. He's profoundly deaf. My mom and sister have some hearing. They can hear dogs barking. They can hear me with preachers when they get loud. They can hear and not understand. My dad was profoundly deaf. My dad never heard a bird, never heard anybody sing, never heard even a, you know, rocket fly by, or even he could barely even hear gunshots. He could feel gunshots, but he couldn't hear them. First sound my dad ever heard was the voice of Jesus. Imagine that. Welcoming him into heaven, you know. That's just a blessing. Think about that, amen. So the Lord is good. God's good. I got saved at 18 years old after playing, having a successful football career, public high school kid all my life, and played 1 year of college ball, got saved, went straight to Bible college, and then started pastoring at 22, and just, I tell you what, man, I failed him so many times, but he's never failed me, amen. He's been so good to me, and I praise the Lord for that. It's an honor to be here tonight and McAlester, Oklahoma, and to be around good Oklahoma folk. And I actually lived in Oklahoma for a brief stint. My dad taught at the Oklahoma School for the Deaf in Sulphur when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and he got his second master's degree from East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma. And so my dad graduated from there, I think, in 1980 or 81 with a second master's degree. And I was a little kid back then, and I know where Turner Falls is. We used to swim in Little Niagara all the time, and I love Sulphur. It was the only they prided themselves in being the only town in the area that had one traffic light in the whole city. But I think it's different now. I think it's bigger now in Sulphur. But anyway, just a lot of neat memories in Oklahoma. And anyway, so praise the Lord for that. That's it. Now let's take our Bibles to Mark chapter 7. And again, as I said, we won't be long. If now, we'll stand in honor of the Word of God, if you can, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 31. And let's get right into the scripture here. One of my favorite passages here. And I've got a burden to see revival come to our churches again. Yeah. And I believe in revival. I believe God can do miracles still. And but it takes what we're going to talk about tonight in order for that to happen. Verse 31, the Bible says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. Straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain." You may be seated tonight. I want to get right in the message for tonight. I read the Gospels. I love the Gospels. Yesterday, of course, was Easter Sunday, and we all preached, I'm sure, about the resurrection and how it's changed our lives and how it's changed everything, the way we do things. I mean, thank God for the resurrection. That's what separates Jesus Christ from all the religious leaders of the world. And I praise his name for that. And as you study the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus Christ was a miracle worker everywhere he went. And Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, who was able to speak the universe into existence, loved to get in people's bubble, personal space when it came to healing them, though. He could have spoken that leper to be healed from a distance. He could have told the blind man from a distance to be healed. He could have told the deaf man to be healed. But for some reason, Jesus always loved to get up right close to people when he healed them. He liked to reach out and touch them. And I've learned this about Americans today. We don't really like people in our personal space. I fly a lot, and I travel quite a bit by plane. Of course, next week we'll be flying to the Bahamas, my family and I. And one thing, my kids used to love playing this game. When we'd get on a plane, they would say, "Dad, let's play the game." And I'd walk in front. And as we were walking to our seats, as soon as I saw someone sitting in the window and someone sitting at the aisle in the open middle seat, I would stop and act like that middle seat might be my seat. And when you're a big boy like me, it makes people scared when you see someone like me coming up and sitting in that middle seat. And they would just look at the look of horror on their face, like, "Not the big boy, not the big boy." And then I'd walk on by, and then there'd be a big sigh of relief, because, like, "Oh, he's not going to sit in that middle seat, praise God," right? And so my kids would always laugh and get a kick out of that, and we'd have a good time with that. But I've learned that. We don't like people in our personal space. We really don't. The average Baptist church nowadays, I mean, I see some of y'all sitting kind of nice and snug together, but the average Baptist church nowadays, a pew that can hold 8 usually holds a family of 4. I mean, Dad sits there, puts his big Bible down, while Mama sits down, puts her big purse, sometimes look like a suitcase, sitting next to her, and then the kid's there with his Bible, and the kid's with the Bible, and they're just spread out and lounging out, and boy, God forbid some visitor come in and try to sit in the pew and share it with them. They're like, "Man, what you sit in my pew for? Get up out of this place." We don't like people in our personal space. But I've learned this, that Jesus loves to be in the personal space. And listen, he is a gentleman. He won't force himself upon anybody. But when you let him into your personal space, good things happen. The Bible says here that they bring in him one that was past tense deaf. That means he wasn't going to be deaf anymore. I love when you see a past tense phrase and it ends up not being past tense anymore. Remember, he was crucified, praise God, that's past tense, but he is present tense risen. In fact, we can still say that today and it makes just as much sense as it did 2,000 years ago, because why? He is risen, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. But here we go in this passage here. You see Jesus ministering to this deaf man. He speaks those two words, be open, and the deaf man is healed. What a miracle. What a miracle. Now I want you to look at this passage with me here though. Because we read through this verse just a few minutes ago, and nobody gasped or said, whoa, and responded. Because I think sometimes we just read through the Bible, just kind of take things cliche, but let's break it down what actually the Bible happened. Look at verse number 33. And he took him aside from the multitude. All right, Brother Terry, that's not that big a deal. Okay, that's okay. Hey, can I talk to you in private? Okay, that's fine. But then it says, and he put his fingers into his ears. The Bible right here teaches us that Jesus invented the wet willy. There it is right there in your Bible. There it is. The wet willy came from Jesus. He put his fingers into his ears. That's what the Bible says. That's weird. You don't see people walk around putting their fingers in each other's ears. But it gets weirder. He spits. And then I still think the weirdest one of all this verse is he touched his tongue. He touched his tongue. Now, if you would have come into church tonight and you saw Brother Terry and Brother Throw up here in the front taking turns, touching each other's tongue and putting their fingers in his ears, you probably would have said, man, they done cracked. I'm leaving here. I'm going to go ahead and go down the road and get something to eat. There's something wrong with this place. We're just not going to see that happen. But the fact of the matter is this deaf man left in a miraculous way and had a story to tell the rest of his life because of that. Now listen, I believe with all my heart, we can see a nationwide revival. And I think a nationwide revival will never happen until there's a statewide. A statewide won't happen until there's a citywide. Citywide won't happen until there's a churchwide. Churchwide won't happen until there's a homewide. And a homewide won't happen until there's a personal revival. Everything starts with the individual. God used individuals all throughout the Bible to do great things, from David to Moses to even the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and even in the New Testament using Paul and Peter. It's amazing how he lets us do those things and miracles and blessings, and we get to see and experience all those wonderful things. But the fact of the matter is tonight is many times we are not allowing God to do those miracles in our life because we want Jesus close enough but not in our personal space. Yeah. We want them in our churches in America, but not in our pulpits. We want them in our homes, but not in the same room. We want them to know we have social media, but we want him looking over our shoulder while we're posting things. Hey, in other words, we want him close enough to cry out to him because he's the crutch, right? And that's not the way it's supposed to be. But if we let him get in our personal space again, we might see revival again in America. I'd say one of the things that's keeping him away from us is sin, right? Let's be honest. We don't want him in our personal space if we got sin. You can't hide sin from God. You cannot hide sin from God. Let me say it again. You cannot hide sin from God. And too many Christians and even preachers we know in the last 15, 20 years just seem like there's this new free grace movement now where you have the grace of God. And thank God for his grace. But let's not forget that Jesus was full of grace and truth. The balance there, grace and truth. Amen. And yet many of us are missing out on the power of letting Jesus get into our personal space for miraculous purposes again. Can I ask you a question? Has it been a while since you've had a miracle? What is a miracle? Here's a miracle. A miracle is simply this. It's something man can't explain because only God can do it. That's ultimately what a miracle is. Man can't explain because God only can do it. And our churches need miracles. Our homes need miracles. Our preachers need to see miracles again. And listen, when we start seeing miracles in our church, people will start wanting to come check out what's happening. By the way, the greatest miracle of all is a soul getting saved. Can I say amen to that? Praise the Lord for that. I used to say things like this, man, someday, Brother Terry, I cannot wait to get to heaven and ask David, what was it like to kill Goliath? And I think David's going to say, are you kidding me? What was it like to lead a sinner to salvation? Come on. We get to experience the greatest miracle of all when we got saved, and then we get to tell people, hey, let me tell you what Jesus can do for you. Hallelujah. Thank God for salvation. Amen. So let me give you a couple of quick applications of this, and then we'll go eat some dessert, all right? That's always clever. You schedule some dessert right after a big boy preaches, he ain't going to preach very long. Look at verse 33 with me right here. The Bible says, and he took him aside from the multitude. He took him aside from the multitude. All right, what's the application here? I think the Bible's amazing because it's a story that really took place, but you take some applications and lessons from it. Listen, this is important. He desires a one-on-one relationship with you and me. I think sometimes in life we take that for granted. You realize that every single day, the creator of this universe desires to have a one-on-one relationship with you. It's almost like he sits at the foot of your bed every morning and he doesn't sleep and he waits. And when we wake up in the morning, he gets excited, hoping, anticipating that we'll spend some time with him. And this morning I got to get up and guess what? I got to read my Bible and I got to pray. And guess what? He's never too busy. He doesn't say schedule with my secretary, check with my assistant and make sure we get the last four digits of your social security number and call and set up an appointment. Hey, thank God you're going to see an appointment tomorrow. He had to call, get an appointment, and, you know, show up at a certain time, anytime you want, 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You say, God, and guess what? He'll have that one-on-one relationship with you anytime.
Right.
Praise the Lord for that. What a promise. What a joy. How exciting that is. It's such a beautiful feeling to think about that. All right. Watch this. Number two real quickly. I want you to notice this. One-on-one relationship. Number two, he puts his fingers into his ears. He puts his fingers into his ears. What's the application? Let me tell you what the application is. Let me tell you the problem of the church is today. We are so full of worldly wax that we are missing out on hearing the truths of God again. We've been watching Fox News too much. We're watching the news too much. We're listening to the wrong kind of music, the wrong kind of entertainment, the wrong kind of movies. And we're allowing our ears to get so full of worldliness that we can't hear that still small voice anymore. And even when the preacher preaches on Sundays, we sometimes hear that, well, he's just not making a big difference as it used to be, man. Well, I'll tell you why. Our ears are full of wax. It's worldly wax. And we need to let Jesus put those fingers in our ears again and clean them out so we can hear the voice of God again. Amen. I mean, when Elijah was there on the cliff there, you know, he saw the wind and the fire and the earthquake. And boy, he thought for sure God was in those things. And all of a sudden, God reminded him that he's that still small voice. And many of us are missing out on that still small voice because our ears are full of junk, full of gunk. And we're not hearing that voice anymore. That sweet still, be still and know that I'm God. And that closeness with him. Hey, Lord, clean out my ears. I listen, by the way, when you start getting your ears cleared out and hear what God has to say again, I tell you what gets you excited. You know what? All of a sudden, you're reminded that he is still in control. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still sitting on his throne. He's never said oops. He's never said uh-oh. He's never been caught up by surprise. He is in complete control. He's not nervous. He's God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we've got to make sure our ears are clear again so we can hear that again.
Amen.
Number one, he wants that one-on-one relationship. That's why he took him aside from the multitude.
Yeah.
Number two, he put his fingers into his ears. Because he wants to clean out air so we can hear some things again. Number three, notice this. He spits. He spit. Okay. All right. Now, I don't know about y'all, but most men, you get spit upon, that's a fight.
Right?
I mean, it's a fight. But he spit. What's the application here? Back up in the same chapter. Let's just sit down for a second and read this for a second now. And I'm going to get to something in just a second. It's going to get y'all fired up. Watch this now. Let's just go back up here. Look at verse number 18, all right? The Pharisees are mad at the disciples and Jesus again for this silly reason, because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, I think you ought to wash your hands before you eat. Although sometimes it adds flavor. Can I get an amen right there? All right. Just saying. But the Pharisees are mad at him, right? So they are mad at him and they're protesting. And watch what Jesus says in verse number 19. Because it entered not into his heart, but into the belly and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. Now watch what Jesus says. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And can I tell you something right now? All those things on that list we just saw, all those bad, negative things, not a one of them is in our Savior.
Right.
So Paul says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them out of Rome also.
Yeah.
You know what he's saying in that context? Whatever's in Jesus, I need to get inside of me. So he can spit on me all he wants. The application is this. You know what our Savior is full of tonight? Love, compassion, holiness, righteousness, mercy, grace. That's what I need inside of me. I'm a wretched sinner that deserves to go to hell, but I've been saved by the grace of God. What I need inside of me is more God and less Randy. Hallelujah. So spit on me all you want. So we made three applications so far. Number one, he took them aside from the multitude. Number two, he put his fingers in his ears. Number three, spits. Application, one-on-one relationship. He wants us to clean out our ears again. And number three, we need to get some things that are inside of him back inside of us.
Yes.
And then number four, Brother Throw, he touched his tongue.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, I still think that's the weirdest one of them all, Brother Terry. That's just me. I've been to some of the biggest cities in the world, especially in America, and I've never seen anybody just walk around touching other people's tongues. Never. I don't even touch my own tongue. I mean, look at this. If someone touches your own tongue, it's like awkward. I can't even talk when I touch my own tongue, right? It doesn't make any sense, right? But Jesus touched his tongue. He touched his tongue. And we know this deaf man had an impediment in his speech, the Bible says. Yeah. Let me tell you what's happening in our churches today. We've got an impediment in our speech.
Come on now. Preach it. Go ahead.
We have an impediment in our speech.
Yes, sir.
We're not testifying and praising and singing and witnessing and so on like we used to. Let me just tell you a little something today, okay? Just bear with me for a second. I didn't grow up in an independent Baptist church. I got saved at 18 years old. I didn't even know independent Baptists existed until I was 18 years old. I walked in the church the first time and said, man, who are these people? And what planet did they come from? And now I are one of y'all. And I'm going to die one. I wouldn't want to be anything else but an independent Baptist. Now, this place is a little different, thank you. But some independent Baptist churches, in fact, a lot of them today, they've lost their shout.
Yeah, you're right.
And here's what I see when I go preach with the throne. You try and preach. This is what I see while I'm preaching.
Yeah,
that's right.
Come on now.
He's right. He's exactly right. God help us.
Now, some of y'all get nervous because it got quiet. But somebody's been actually sitting like that tonight in the service. I'm going to point you out, but somebody's been sitting like that tonight. So if I can do it for 20 seconds, you've been doing it for 20 minutes. Somebody help me now right there, right? But we've lost our shout. And I mean, it's literally the Baptist salute, right? You know what the Baptist salute is, right? I mean, they look at their watch and, hello, preacher, look at the watch, right? We've lost our shout. It's almost like we've given people vinegar at the back door when they're walking in. Here's your vinegar. And we come into church all sour-faced. We act like we're discouraged. And God help us if somebody even just says amen. We traveled all over the country, and I remember my wife and kids, and I would say, Dad, let's do the test tonight. We go to some new church we've never been before. They say, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. And I'll say, amen. And the whole crowd looks at me like, oh, it's going to be a long night tonight. I like going to churches where it's a normal thing when somebody gets excited in the seat. And let me tell you what God's saying here. I believe the application is this. He touches our tongue because it's time to get rid of that impediment of our speech and start telling people about what Jesus has done for us. Man, I'm for talking about stuff that's, I mean, tonight there's basketball championship games on. A lot of people have been following March Madness, and I'm a big college football guy, man. I love my Florida Gators, but Terry and I have that in common. He's a Cowboys fan. Anyway, so let's move right along. It's been rough for the Cowboys, right? It's been rough for the Gators, too. But hey, but I'm talking about, we get excited. We talk about hunting stories. Who's a hunter in here, right? I mean, hey, next week, 1 week from today, I'll be snorkeling in the Bahamas. That's some of my preacher friends golf, hunt, you know, fish and turkey hunting. My son-in-law's an avid turkey hunter. I'm a snorkeler. I love to go out in that water and snorkel. I've been in the water with sharks. I've been from me to you from sharks. Beautiful creatures, man. My son-in-law tried to trash talk me one day and said, hey, Dad, my son-in-law said, your daughter killed a turkey today. Boy, how does it feel to be? She might be the man of the house. I said, well, I was with 8 sharks yesterday. How you doing, Ace? He goes, all right, Dad, you win. All right, you win. That's what I love. I can sit down and talk about snorkeling, and I've got the gear, and I get addicted to it. And I mean, listen, Americans, they all sit at the beach. We find a quiet beach as a family. Nobody's around, and we have a whole reef to our family to own to snorkel as a family. It's a beautiful thing. We see amazing creatures, right? I can talk about that all day. You can talk about hunting, and you can talk about sports. And ladies, you can talk about your children and this new set dress you got on sale. I'm for all that, but hey, let's not forget to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
To brag on Him. To testify about Him. Hey, can I ask you a question tonight? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Have you been saved from an eternal hell? All right, boy, that's where the somersault right there. Woo! Hey, have you been saved from an eternal hell? Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Hey, somebody has got to talk about it again in America.
Amen.
We've gotten so unashamed. I mean, so ashamed. We need to be unashamed. We've lost our shout. We've lost our skip and our step. We've lost the joy that we had. We've lost our reason for praising God. We've just come to our church and we just kind of got quiet. And we joined the Kumbaya clinics. We hold hands and sing, Kumbaya, my Kumbaya, Kumbaya. We've lost our shout. Listen, we are on the winning side. But our Savior, He won. We celebrated it yesterday.
Right.
I mean, I preached a message a week ago yesterday to our church about how the angel sat upon the stone. Religion makes you carry stones. My Savior's so powerful, I can sit on the stone now. That stone of my past, that stone of my sin, that stone of my regrets. Hey, I got victory in Jesus today. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I can literally look at death tonight and say, nah, 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 nah. You can't have me. Why? I've been saved by the grace of God. Man, we got to talk about it. I'll never forget. I'm just about through. I'll never forget, Brother Thoreau. I was getting ready to go preach in Texas at a youth meeting. And I got to the shuttle bus there in St. Louis, Missouri. And it was really early in the morning, packed out bus. I got on the bus, and the driver said, hey, it's pretty packed. You mind standing? I said, I'll stand. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Texas. What are you going to do in Texas? I'm preaching at a youth conference. Really? What are you going to preach on? I told him. He picks up a CB. It's about a 10-minute drive to the airport. Hey, folk, we have a preacher on the bus this morning. He's going to preach to y'all right now about what he's going to preach in Texas. Go ahead. I'm like, what? Am I allowed to do this? I mean, this is America. And I look and there's like 25 sets of eyeballs looking at me. And I'm like, hi. Hi. What'd you do? I preached. When we got to the airport, they all unloaded. I sat. I had to talk to this guy. I went to the driver and said, sir, aren't you worried about getting fired? He said, listen to me. I've been driving shuttle bus for 30 years. I've had 3 or 4 different bosses. And every time I get a new boss, I go into his office and say, hey, I want you to know I talk about Jesus on my bus. Technically, he didn't. I did. But that's okay. We'll give him credit for it. I talk about Jesus on my bus. If you have a problem with that, I'll walk out today.
Yeah. Come on now.
And he talks about Jesus.
Good.
Now, I'm not saying go get fired from your job. I'm not saying that. But I know this for sure. We can talk about Jesus more.
That's right.
We can talk about Jesus more.
Good.
Number one, he called him aside from the multitude. One-on-one relationship. He put his fingers in his ears. It's time to clean up our ears and hear what he has to say again. Number three, spits. There's things inside of him when you get inside of us. Number four, he touched his tongue. It's time to testify, preachify, singify, whateverify about him again.
Amen.
And finally, number five, Jesus had never says a word. You ever thought about this? He hasn't said one word. He didn't explain anything to this deaf man. My dad, this is my dad's favorite story. My dad thinks that Jesus knew sign language and may have signed him. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Maybe. We don't know that for sure. But he doesn't say a word. And I want you to notice something. The deaf man never protested one time. He didn't push Jesus away. If he'd have pushed Jesus away or felt awkward at any given moment, he would have left still a deaf man and with an impediment in speech. And can I just testify? I'm just going to be honest right now, open book. When Jesus gets you in a personal space sometimes, it's awkward.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
Why? Perfection, imperfection.
Yeah.
Holiness, unholiness. Righteousness, unrighteousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful, perfect, darling Son of God, wretched, vile, wicked sinner.
Yeah.
And yet, that holiness comes in my presence to touch me and tell me He loves me and save me.
Yeah. Come on now.
So all Jesus says to the Christian is this. Two words in the English language. Be open. 24/7, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not just on a Monday night preaching meeting, not just on Tuesday morning preaching fellowship. 24/7, Jesus just wants us to be open. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible is in Revelation chapter 3. Where the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yes.
Jesus, the one who purchased the church with his own blood,
yes,
is standing at the door and knocking because he's a gentleman. He could force his way in. He says, if any man hear my knock, is that what the Bible says?
No.
If any man hear my voice. You see, he wants to come in and sup with him and him with him. What's that? He wants to be in his personal space. The church has gotten to where we just have Jesus close enough by so we can cry out to Him when we have problems. But we need Him right here. Touch my leprosy. Touch my blindness. Touch my deaf ears. Touch my hard heart. Help me with my wicked ways. Come in my personal space, Lord. And I want you to know I want to stay open 24/7. I've been at this long enough now. I've been preaching for over 30 years, pastoring almost 30 years. I've seen a lot of good people come and go. I've seen the devil take them and drag them through the mud and throw them in the gutter. Not for the grace of God, it could be me. But I've learned this. Nobody will keep you from personal revival except yourself. Jesus will always come if you stay open. I close with the title of the message. Here it is. Tonight, my friend, I ask you, is Jesus in your personal space? Head your bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Now, I just don't mind me, but the Lord, I promised the Lord many years ago when I first started traveling, preaching, period, that I'd always give an invitation for salvation. Always.